Let's see. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 22. One verse of scripture there. Then I'm going to be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Try to bring something tonight that I think that, you know, I need it, nothing else. I got to pondering over it the first part of the week. And chapter 12 and verse 22. Chapter 12 and verse 22 in the book of Ezekiel. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Ezekiel. All righty. It says right here, it says, let's go back up to 21. Has everybody got your page? All right. Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 21. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, the day are prolonged, and every vision faileth. Remember the last phrase there in the 22nd verse, and every vision faileth. And over there in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the love chapter. And we know that without love, there's no way we can be effective for the Lord. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. Down to about, let's see, I think it's verse 9. Okay. I think it's 13, yeah. Yeah, okay. Okay, verse 1 in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understandeth all mysteries and all knowledge, and thou I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned,
and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaineth not itself, is not puffed up, doeth not behave itself unseemly, seeking not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Bear all things, believe all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecy, thou shalt fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, that then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now, Father, we want to thank you for the reading of thy word. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for this word, charity, and Father, that means love. And we're so thankful, Father, that you passed it down from the portals of glory there in heaven. And you passed it on down through time, and Father, and you placed it into our heart as soon as we accepted you as our personal Savior. And Father, that we knew nothing about love until after we met you. So Father, tonight we ask God that you may bless this message. And Father, you may open our hearts unto the message tonight, Father. Then we may become closer and closer to you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. In Ezekiel, we're seeing there where in the 22nd verse in chapter 12, the latter part of that, it talks about a vision. It talks about a vision and where the vision will perish. The days are prolonged, and every vision faileth, or every vision will perish. Now, no doubt when we first got saved, we all had a vision for what we was aiming to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. We was on fire for the Lord. We was telling everybody that we come in contact with, we was telling them what the Lord had done for us. We tell them that the Lord has saved us and we're not going to hell. But today you don't hear much of that anymore. that where people are going out and spreading the gospel. And that's what it is, spreading the gospel. Now I know that what I'm about ready to say, that I know that some preachers would disagree with me on this. Some pastors would disagree with me on this. Some evangelists and missionaries that would disagree with me on this. But I will say this anyhow, because it's according to God's precious word. It says in God's word, first of all, we become a Christian through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will all agree with me on that. But after that fact, then what do we start doing? We start going around. And everybody we've seen, we started telling them how much we love them and how much we love God and how much God has done for us. And we are saved. We're not going to die and go to hell. And yes, there is a hell. There is a hell to gain if they don't watch it. But I'll tell you one thing. Once you ever get to know Jesus Christ, and if you ever accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you never have to worry about that anymore at all. You don't have to worry about going to hell. You don't have to worry about any of that. We don't have to worry about our past. We don't have to worry about our failures. We don't have to worry about it. Only thing that we need to worry about is what we can do for the Lord Jesus. What we can do for Him. And what we can do for Him is we need to go out here and we need to start speaking the truth. We need to start telling people about His precious love. Now, you know, I know that you've heard people talk about vision. You know what the Word of God speaks about vision? An individual that doesn't have a vision, what happens? They're no use to God. We all must have some kind of vision. And yes, when I come here, even today, tomorrow, next week, next month, I have a vision that when I show up the next service, that we're going to have some visitors. I have that vision. Why? Because God has put that in my heart. God has put that in my soul. And I've never been disappointed when I come to church and I don't have any visitors. Some people, they get upset about it. Some pastors, some preachers, they say, well, I'm not going to give up because people will not come out to church anymore. What about the ones that we have coming? What are we going to do with them? Are we going to just let them say, well, you're going to have to defend yourself? And two, now that today we hear so many preachers, we hear so many pastors telling the congregation how much they love each one of them and what they would do for them. But I'll say this. If I stand up here and if I say that I love you, and my intention is for you to grow in the Lord and for me to grow, for us to grow together in the Lord, and then I turn around within 6 months' time and resign, and I did not even worry about even thinking about getting another preacher in here, didn't even think about even telling you about somebody that you can call, that I can say, hey, yes, they believe. They believe in the King James Bible. They believe once saved, always saved. They believed in going to heaven.
And they believe that there's a hell. And if I don't tell you that, how can I honestly stand up here and say that I love you? Because the love of God is not in me that way. The love of God will not be in for me to go out and say, well, y'all defend on your Bible, say y'all might go and defend on your own now. I've known pastors that were just up and quit. Why? Because the church won't grow it. Why? Because people won't come in. They won't get saved. Why? Because somebody would say something against you. Hey, they've done a whole lot worse to the Lord Jesus Christ. A whole lot worse to Him. But did He quit? No. He could not quit. Why? Because He had orders from His Father there in heaven to go about doing what the Father wanted Him to do. And you could tell that Jesus had that in His heart to do what the Father wanted Him to do. Because He would always say, not my will, but your will, Father. Always wanting the Father's will. He wanted Him to be lifted up. He wanted His name to be monitored over the world where people can look to Him. Jesus did not take no credit. He didn't want no credit. But today people want credit. They won't say, look what I've done. What have I done? Nothing. I can go out here and visit all week long, 5, 6, 7 days a week. I can be here to church on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, and I can be here Sunday night at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I can be here on Wednesday night at 5 o'clock. I can be on time, and I can be on time for all the revivals. And I can go to other revivals, to other churches, travel to their churches and hear the gospel. But in all of that, what have I done compared to what Christ done for me? Nothing. He died for me. He gave His life. Now we need to think about that for a moment. He gave His life. What will we give Him? Only thing He's asking, He's not asking for our life. He's not asking me to go and lay down my life for the man across the street I hear that's not saved. For the individual that goes up and down the highways and everything, and he's robbing people blind and everything. I mean, the Lord's not asking me to lay down my life for them that they could have a better life. He's not. Only thing He's asking me to do is go and visit them and give them some of His charity, some of His love. Because We can think about it or not. We can look at it this way or not. It don't make no difference. But we can say that the helpmate the Lord had given us at the time we got married, and we can say all we want to about how much we love our spouse,
How much we love them. We'd do anything in the world for them. We'd fight for them. We'd even lay down our lives for them. Would we? Yes, we'd fight for them. But would we lay our life down for them? I doubt it personally. I'm being honest. Somebody come up to me and say, Donnie, you know, I know your wife, she's been mighty good to you. But we're going to take her. We're going to take her, and we're going to do everything we can against her. We're going to do things that you would never dream of. The only way that she can escape all of that, the only way that she can escape all the abuse that she's going to receive, is that you need to go straight to where she's at, and you need to lay right in front of her, and you need to be like Job's wife and what she said. Curse God and die. Curse God and die. I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could lay down there and give up my life. I could lay down. But do you think honestly that I'm going to give up my life? I hope and pray that I could do something else. I hope and pray that I would beg and I'd plead and I'd cry and do everything I could. And maybe even say, Lord, here I am. You can take my life and spare my wife's. But would I have that type of love in my heart when I said that? I doubt it. I'm being honest with you. I'm just an old human being. Where the inward man is saved by the grace of God. Where the Holy Spirit lives. And where He teaches me every day what I need to do and what I don't need to do. But yet, I'm always, the inside, the spirit, the inward spirit is always fighting against the outer flesh. Always fighting. Who ends up winning majority of the time? It's usually the flesh. Because we'll forget about what we're supposed to be doing for the Lord. Because it's old pity me time. Pity me. Pity me. I've got it so hard. Ain't nobody got it as hard as I got it. And here I am. I got money in my pocket. Living a nice home. Drive a nice automobile. Don't I have to worry about my food? Don't I have to worry about my clothes? Always have all that. But pity me. I got it worse than everybody else. Nobody's got it as bad as I got it. We'll say that and still not realize what real love is all about. We'll never experience the true love. You did not ever experience the true love of God. God's kind of love until you got saved. I didn't know anything about God's love until I got saved. And then when I read here in the Bible where He loved me enough that He hung on a tree that He created. And He hung there between heaven and earth and died for me. That's when I really found out how much his love meant to me. And with that, my love for him should not only be that much, my love for him should be a whole lot more. Because, see, I didn't have to die. Because, see, what did Paul say? Paul said what? Die is to gain. What would I be gaining if I just say, well, Lord, now you saved me, now you're going to take me home? Look at all the rewards that I would be giving up. But the visions. We need to have a vision for this church like we've never had before. I honestly believe that if Brother Poovy could stand here tonight and you asked him as a congregation, Pastor, what kind of vision did you have for Faith Baptist Church? I don't wonder what he would say. I know what he would say. He'd want to see as many people to get to heaven. And he'd want to win more and more every week to the Lord. And he'd want to stay true to his word. That was a vision that he had. But see, the people down through the years, they could not take that vision and look at it the same way. They could not look and see the vision that he had for Faith Baptist Church. Do you think that him and Mr. Whaler and a whole lot of the others in here that come down here and built and labored here at this building, built this church from the ground up? Do you honestly believe that he, the only vision that he had for this church was for the building to be built? For the size that he had built, that he had your plans, or no. His vision went further than that. His vision was when that. Back then, we're not called the City of Churches anymore. Because, I mean, I know what Brother Lomax was talking about this morning. He said at one time, the City of Danville was called the City of Churches. And the reason it was called the City of Churches was because you had churches out here, and you had people in the church. They was getting saved. You had people coming and flocking to the house of the Lord, and they was getting saved. They was being born again into the family of God. And then all of a sudden, you see young people come in, and you see where they get saved. And then you see some elderly people, they get saved. And then you see middle-aged people, they get saved. But then you'd also see some men in the church where the Lord would start dealing with them about carrying the gospel, about telling somebody else about Jesus, about preaching the precious word of God. You don't have that anymore. I don't know when the last time I have ever heard the where a young man, or even any age, that they've said, well, the pastor said to me, he said, you know, we had an elderly man in the church. He'd been saved for about 6 months or a year. But says now, he feel like God's dealing with him. He feel like God wants him to do a little more. He feels like God wants him to go out and to preach and to evangelize. You don't hear that much anymore. Now I know it's six of us here tonight. Each one of us can think about this. We can all think about, say, the last 5 years. That each one of us can think of, go back 5 years, from that 5 years to today. How many times we've heard of somebody had enough love in their heart that they wanted to fulfill God's commission. They want to go and do what God is burdening them down to do. I don't know when the last time it was when I heard. I really don't. And it's a shame. It is a shame. We should be ashamed of ourselves. The Christians need to be ashamed of themselves. Why? Because we are not doing the Christian duty. We are not doing what Christ wants us to do. We're not doing what He's asked us to do. We're not doing what we need to do. And now, even if we get somebody in now, and you get somebody into the church and everything, they come visiting, and if somebody comes up and gets saved, then the first thing you know, we'll be sitting back down. And yes, and we'll probably know them and everything. And we'll think about them and whisper under our breath, I'll give them a month. They won't be back. They won't be back. I'll give them a month. They won't be back. No, they're not going to come back. You know the reason they don't come back? Because we're not doing our Christian duty. We're not calling them. We're not encouraging them. We're leaving them to defend on themselves. I would love to see a mother take that young child that just brought from the hospital and put that child in a baby bed and turn around and walk out the door. Don't just go shopping. Well, I went through 9 months of carrying that child. That child was 9 months old then. Now it's almost a year old. Had been born by about three months. But yet, counting the first 9 months of it, now it's a year old. That child needs to fit on it. That child needs to learn. That child needs to learn. If they need a bottle, if they need something to drink, then that child needs to figure out a way to be able to get up and to walk to that tea and refrigerator and be able to get something out of the refrigerator to drink. And that child needs to be able to get up and go to the cabinet and get them some dry food or something like that where they can nibble on. That's basically what we're doing. Because see, God's word, what does God's word say about a new convert? Somebody that just got saved. They are babes in Christ.
You can be 90 years old, but when you come and you accept the Lord as your Savior, you come as a little child. You come in that childlike faith. Because see, that's what it takes. The childlike faith. To believe in God. I want to ask you something. Of all the times since the day that you got saved, all the times that you've been serving the Lord, all the times that you've been coming to church, and all the times that you've been reading the Bible, and all the times that you've been praying, has God ever failed you? He hasn't failed me one iota. But how many times have I failed him? He never fails. He never will fail me at anything. I can just right now, I could walk out these doors and I could say to myself, what's the need of me going back down into church? What's the need of me going? The people won't come out except for the few that we got. They'll come out. So if the church door closes, I know that the only 7 or 8 that's still there. I know that they'll end up go somewhere else. But in with me doing all of that, turning my back on God, do you think he'll fail me? No. He's not going to fail me then, literally. But yet I failed him big time. I failed him big time. He'll never fail us. The Holy Spirit will never fail us. John chapter 14, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that ye may abide with you forever. The Lord's love, his compassion, never fails, never will fail, because his love is always the same. He does not love me any more than he does that hell-bound sinner right here that uses the Lord's name in vain. He does not love me no more than what he loves them. Because see, his love is all the same. He's no respecter of individuals. He does not respect me no more than he does that individual across the highway. He does not look at me and say, Donnie, you're my child. I was already his child. But I was his child in disobedience. I was his child in disobedience. I did not want to obey him. I did not want to obey the Holy Spirit. Because see, we're all are God's children. Some are just disobedient. Some just don't know how to love. And we know individuals like that.
I know people like that. I know people right now that they just soon to use me and spit me to the curb. They don't have no respect for God. They don't have no respect for the church. They don't have no respect for the preacher. They don't have no respect for the Christians. And they don't have no respect at all for when it comes to God's word. Why? Because of the way the church has gotten. Our faith never fails. And I can say that honestly. His faith will never fail us. But guess what? If we're connected and we're grounded and rooted in His Word, we would not even fail Him. We would do what He'd asked us to do. We really would. And I'm going to ask you this. And then I'm going to have prayer. And then we can leave and go home. How many of you, it's not but six of us here, and I think that each one of us can think of at least an individual that nobody else has thought about this here. How many of you can say that you know of an individual that you would love to see them in church? That you'd love to see them serving the Lord? And how many do you know of that you know that are not living for the Lord? They're not living the life that the Lord has told them and the church has taught them. How many do you know of an individual like that? I know of Bukus. But I'm asking, just think of one. Just think of one individual, and you pray for that one individual all week. Pray for them. And say, Lord, you know what they're going through. I don't. I don't know what they're going through, but you do. If there's any way possible, any way at all, that you could speak to the heart, and they just start thinking about, I wish somebody would come by. I wish somebody would come by. I wish somebody would just come by and tell me about Jesus one more time. And if we pray with a sincere heart, and if we pray with tears bubbling up from our heart to our eyes that's running down our face, I believe God would answer that prayer. And I believe God would reveal unto you and unto me what day to go. And see, if the Lord is in it, if the Lord reveals that, He's going to send us, and He's going to reveal it to us when we need to go. He's going to reveal the time And we can be in that cooking, we can be in that cooking supper, and we just got one more thing that we could do, and we could all sit down and eat. But the Lord said, I don't want you to eat. I don't want you to do nothing else. I want you to get in the automobile. I want you to go to so-and-so's house right now. Because the heart is ready. The heart is ready. You need to go. That's all it takes. For us just not even think about ourselves. But we think about ourselves all the time. What can I do? What can I do? What can we do? First of all, we get in the Word, and then that's when the Lord Jesus will speak to our hearts about what He wants us to do. Our Father, we want to thank You for this day. Lord, we thank You for this service we had this morning. And Lord, now we thank You for this service tonight. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that each one of us can think of that individual that is so special to us, that they're not in church. They may not even be saved, I don't know. But if they are, maybe they got out of church because maybe a feeling got hurt. But Father, we ask now, if You would start tonight, right now, speaking to them. Speaking to them with Your love. And then Father, You can tell us, You can reveal unto us when it's time, when it's ready for us to go and visit them. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and how much we love Him and how much we love You, Lord. We thank You and we love You with all our hearts tonight. I know, Father, that what we just prayed for, I know, Father, that something's going to come from it. I do not know when. I do not know how. But You say in Your word, when two or three are gathered, that they come in Your name. And touching this wrong room, oh God, You will do, You will hear, and You will answer prayer. Father, I believe right now that we've all come in agreement in what we've just prayed for. Lord, we want to see this church flourish. We don't want to see it flourish just because of me or no one else. But we want this church to grow in the grace and the knowledge of You, Father. We thank You.